What's good? I am back. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Of course, we're going to take you back into the world of Bare Knuckle. My next guest recently made his debut for the BKFC, and let's bring him on, the one and only Anthony, the Devil's Advocate, Yost. And what's good, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your training today?
Good, man. Good. 3 hours boxing this morning, 7 to 10. It was solid.
That's what's up. So I'm going to start here. Let's start with your wrestling background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't have much. I know they wrote on my my BKFC bio that I wrestled. I didn't. Most of my career was in Iowa, though. So okay. It was kind of one of them things that, like, I wasn't old enough to fight in Minnesota at the time, so I kind of learned to wrestle in the earlier years.
Okay. The Devil's Advocate, like, who gave you that nickname?
My mom.
Your mom?
My mom did. I was 16 years old. I'm not a real big religious person. My mom and my family is.
Yeah. Hey,
buddy, that's my son, Uriah. And the way she worded it is, the Devil's Advocate was the one that gave you permission to get into heaven. So in fight terms, it was to be the best, you got to beat me. To get to the top, you got to go through me. And that's kind of where my name originated when I was 16.
Okay, that's very interesting, because most fighters get their names from somebody they usually train with or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it says you got into kickboxing. Did you get into kickboxing?
I did. My original coach, back when I was 16 in my first gym, he was a kickboxing coach. So, like, that's a kind of what got me into martial arts, was kickboxing.
Okay. And what was that experience like for you?
It was fun, man. I enjoyed it. He had some weird training techniques, I guess, for me. I was just a skateboarder at the time, but he used to make me take, like, the bench bar and, like, roll it up and down my shins and then get myself shin splints and get up and jump rope. So, like, he had some weird techniques to build up the strength in my shins when I was younger.
Did it work?
Oh, it did, man. My shins they're solid.
That's what's up. I mean, hey, if it works, I guess that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, man, that's about it. It's always the weird training techniques that seem to kind of just surprise you and work.
So you had an amateur MMA career, 16 fights, it says. How did that help prepare you for Bare Knuckle?
Yeah, that one too. There's a lot, because, like I said before, I started fighting in 2009 before commission was really around. So I have actually 22 amateur MMA fights, I believe, and then 3 or 4 amateur kickboxing. I don't quite remember. A lot of them were for like fundraisers, so they weren't like too big into it. But it got me prepared just for experience-wise. I might not have fought some of the toughest cats or had the greatest amateur MMA career, but I do have something a lot of these new guys that are coming into BKFC along with me that they don't have. And that is 30 plus fights of fighting from Minnesota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, California. Now I've been to Hawaii. I fought in Honolulu, and then in Jacksonville. So I fought all over the place, and I've had the honor of training with some top names like Jeremy Stevens and Dominic Cruz and them guys over back in 2015 at Alliance in California. So that life of mine got me probably more prepared, like, skill wise, I guess, for bare knuckle, or experience wise. I mean, it kind of get me like, hey, I fought before. I like getting punched type of situation. But bare knuckle is so different. Like, that's kind of why I feel like my bare knuckle career started the way it started. I went in with the wrong mindset and thinking, hey, man, I know I've been retired for 4 years, but look, I have 27 fights, 28 fights. What can these guys bring to me that I haven't seen? And I think that's why I got careless in my first one. It was a humbling experience. I lost real quick. Then my second one, I just kind of let the nerves get to me a little bit. Got too excited after I dropped them and pushed the pace when that wasn't the game plan.
Now, what got you interested in the bare knuckle in the first place?
A few years ago, back in 2019, I fought in Honolulu, like I was saying, and I shouldn't have taken it. I fought a guy, I think his record was like 18-6, and I got knocked out. Wow. For the first time in my career, I mean, I was out for about 3-4 minutes. My wife told me it was kind of the big reason I retired for so many years, is kind of just heal up. But I actually, Nate probably doesn't remember, but I called him personally because they were just getting started. I believe, you know, everything was kind of getting up there, and he told me I couldn't fight for him because I just got knocked out and I had to wait a year.
Okay.
You know, that was when bare knuckle was just getting started. So a lot of the rules were a little bit more strict.
Yeah.
And he probably don't remember it, but it was really just the grittiness. I was always never a real technical fighter, no background in jujitsu, no, just a little bit of kickboxing, but I always showed up and I always liked to throw hands. And that kind of just, I've been wanting it since about 2019, I believe.
Now, for people who might not know, you're referring to Nate Shook, right? The matchmaker, Shook, yeah. Right?
I called now, him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like I looked his number, looked up online.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, how'd you get his number?
If I remember right, I just like looked it up, like how to connect with promoters online and like start looking at these promotions and names, and they had numbers on there. And I just started like calling promoters and stuff to try to find fights. That's how I found a lot of my fights and actually how I got to Hawaii.
Did you know he was the matchmaker at the time or?
No, I was just calling to say, hey, how do I get involved in this? Can I do this? And, you know, stuff like that. But because I just got knocked out, he said I had to wait a year.
Now, okay, so your year's up. Did you have to go through any tryouts or anything of that nature?
It's actually a pretty crazy story. You know, I retired for about 4.5 years. I had this weird urge, like, to want to get back into it. And I started training a little bit. And I was in Miami last year for my daughter. She got accepted into the STEM programs, but it was a week before the Miami tryouts. And I was commenting on some stuff online. And Scott Farley, my manager, said, hey, where do you live? I said, Pensacola. He's like, my gym's 30 minutes from there. I manage fighters. Why don't you come in, try out? So I went down there a few weeks later, tried out, and I've been with him ever since.
And Scott, I follow him on Facebook and whatnot. He, if I'm not mistaken, he manages Goat Combat Agency, is it called?
Goat Combat Agency.
Okay, and they definitely got a lot of fighters under Goat that I've seen.
Yeah, they have some top ones. A few of them I've had the honor of working with is Brett Williams is one I work with a few times a week. And then it was cool when Soto came over to our gym and did a seminar a few months back.
Yeah, shouts out to Tony Soto. He's lives in the Carolinas as well as me. He's a little ways up, a couple hours away from where I'm at right now. So
yeah, he's a good dude.
The fight that you had at BKFC Fight Night, Pechanga, that was your second BKFC fight?
Yep, my first one was for Valor in Jacksonville.
Oh, okay, it was for Valor.
I fought AJ Rodriguez.
Okay. Okay, so now you make your debut in BKFC. What was the nerves like?
Exciting. I felt like I belonged. I think for me, the biggest thing is like, man, my leg was like shaking, like right before we did the weigh-ins, man. Like I was like, oh man, it's been forever. You know what I'm saying? Like my leg was like jittery. It was funny. But the nerves for me were like, I got overly excited. Like I was like talking to myself, amping myself up in the back to the point where even one of the security guards like stopped and tried talking to me, but I was talking to myself. So I just kind of was like, hey man, my bad. But my nerves just kind of, I got overly excited.
So you fought Mike Hansen, who I actually interviewed on this show. And what was the game plan going in? Do you feel like you followed the game plan at first?
I did. Our game plan was to, I knew he had kind of going through some of his fights that he had a really good two.
Okay.
But he also, the one thing that surprised me with him is I didn't think he was going to get up. Like I did listen to his podcast. So our game plan was like, hey, this guy, he has experience. So we got to be careful. He is dangerous. He moves well, his feet move well. But when he gets put down, he doesn't have that dog in him. Like that's kind of what I had in my head. We knew he was going to be a tough fight, but the fact that he got up, I mean, I've never, like I've put people out a few times in my MMA career, but when I hit him, it's hard for, like, he surprised me, and that's what got my nerves going, like, oh, shit, you know, like, this guy got up, that kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, because when you hit him, I mean, he went straight to his knees, and so you were over there, you looked pretty confident, and so you were shocked he got up, because I know when I interviewed him, he said he's not going to quit unless you knock him out.
Yeah, and that's I did listen to the interview because me and Mike do message back and forth now. Okay. You know, like we earned a respect with each other. Yeah. One day, you know, he's going to 25, I'm going to 25, so sooner or later down the road we might meet again.
Yeah.
But in that one, it was I hit him so clean in the chin, and I saw it in his eyes as he was falling. Like this guy put my hands up, and I was like, "Hey, this is it, you know? Like just get back and get ready." And so when he got up, my brain was so just foggy, and I was like, just get in there. And when I got in there, I overrushed it. I was swinging way harder than I ever planned on for bare knuckle. And I missed, and he caught me a couple times in the neck and the chin, and it stunned me.
So him getting up kind of really took you off of your game plan is what you're saying.
It did. Like, that's why I just let my nerves get to me. I let something so simple of like not being mentally prepared the way I needed to. Now that it's over and I've had time to reflect on it, it's like I feel like my skills, I beat him 9 out of 10 times. But again, this is bare knuckle and one mistake can cost you.
I mean, on the outside looking in, it felt like after you knocked him down, I mean, you really started to try to go at him to try to finish him. And I would, you know, on the outside looking in, that seems like the game plan, though, when you knock a guy out. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, it is the game plan. It was more of I didn't use the high elbow blocks I needed to. And I didn't. In the beginning of the fight, I was keeping my hand up, even though I was cut. I was keeping it up and I was countering him. And I was overextending my punches instead of like keeping my hands up and being precise. So pushing him was the game plan, but it was like that aggression wasn't.
And it felt like I watched the fight again today. And I mean, it was only one round, but it felt like there wasn't going to be too much clinching in that fight.
No, we did train it. We did work because we knew he had a wrestling background. So we did work a lot of putting the elbow up, turning. We got a real good Muay Thai system here at Core that Scott teaches. And we have a couple other instructors. One of them just actually went to Thailand. So we planned on for the clinch up because he did wrestle.
And how big are you with the clinch?
I believe in bare knuckle, it's essential. There is, because in boxing you tie up, you know, you got the big gloves, you can do a lot of blocking, but in bare knuckle you want to be able to, you got to stay active. Like, you know, they'll break you up. So I believe it's essential as the jab.
Okay, now he comes back and hits you with the two piece. Like you said, he's good with his two piece. Mm-hmm. And you did stumble a little bit, but also this is one thing I noticed watching it again. He stumbled a little bit. You know, when you go back and watch it, he kind of stumbled and the ref kind of still, you know, let him fight on. You stumbled a little bit, but do you feel like the ref definitely caught it too soon? Because I've seen these fights go way worse than this.
It's hard to, from a fighter's point of view, I'd rather go out on my shield. You know what I mean? So I'd rather have him give, especially seeing that there's only 15 seconds left of the fight. It's like, hey, man, let me recover. But I think wife bought me some scooters. I stumbled a little bit more intense, I think. Like, I've gone back and looked at it. Like, Scott's super real with me, and that's why, like, I can sit here and say I wish I would have let it go on, and they should have let it go on. But Scott right afterwards looked at me, and he's like, it was, you know, it's a good stoppage. And he's very real with me, so I've gone back, and I've watched it, and I agree. I think he could have let me go on, but, I mean, I went down a lot harder than he did.
Now, you knocked him down. You started going at him. It felt like you just couldn't get enough good clean punches in. I feel like if you just got one or two more clean punches in, it would have probably been over.
Yep. I believe so too. Or even worked. That would have been the time we would have worked the clinch. We worked a lot of 20-second fast paced off the scratch line, like drills, like 30 rounds we would do, you know, like we would do 30, 20-second rounds just to get my blood flowing before we even got into sparring. So we trained for that, but I think it comes down to, again, I let my emotions get the best of me. And instead of being collective and picking them shots that one or two could have hit them, I was just everything I got.
Now, if y'all would have made it to the second round, the cardio, would it have stood up? Because I realized in BKFC, when I interviewed Rambo Russo, he explained something that I never heard nobody say, that in boxing, it starts out slow and it gets fast, and BKFC it starts out fast and it gets slow, and that's because guys tire out after that first round. So do you feel like, what's your cardio like? Is your cardio fit for to go the distance?
Yes, I train the way we train. Right now, like, I'm 2 times a day, 6 days a week. That's why I was really busy. This is something new. We've always trained 6 days a week, but I've been adding extra classes and extra hours. In the morning, I wake up at, my day starts at 4:30, 4:45 most days. Wow. Is what I wake up just so I can get up, get ready, work out between like 5, 5:30. You know, nothing too big, but go run a few miles, get the blood flowing for the day before I go to work. But my cardio is, I swung, I think it's like 67 or something, 60 some punches in that. And I could have done probably 100 the rest of that, the last 15 seconds, I would have just been probably swinging. But we trained my arms and the endurance to be able to counter and swing like I was all 5 rounds. I do believe I can go all 5 rounds, which I can, you know, I haven't yet, but I've had a lot of hard training days where I believe my cardio and the endurance in my arms can go and swing 100 times every round.
Now, one thing I notice about bare knuckle is you're not going to have a guy go 20-0. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen. So is bare knuckle a little easier to deal with the losses, do you think, knowing that, like, nobody's really going to go 20-0, 30-0, like Mayweather or something like that?
Yeah, there's a few that, I mean, they could, like that heavyweight guy. I do like him. The one in the Cuban, that guy is something.
Podoma?
That dude is something special, you know. Like, but yeah, in general, the first one was rough, you know, because I just came back out of retirement. I got knocked out, so that one was a little bit harder to deal with. But this one with Mike, I was back in the gym on Monday when I got back to Florida. I haven't missed a day, and ever since that loss, that is what kicked me into gear to stop listening to that little voice in the back of your head that everybody has that tells you, hey, don't do this. And it's taken me some time, but things have been amping up ever since then. So this one's been real easy to deal with compared to my MMA days. Yeah, them were rough. I was young too, though.
So the first one, when you lost that, did you kind of start doubting yourself at all?
I did, because I went in that one with a pretty, like, I didn't have any doubt in my mind that AJ was going to be anything that I haven't seen. And he, I mean, again, he proved his skill at the last Miami or the Hollywood card, Rodriguez. But I went in there, I caught him with the left. I pushed the pace like I wanted to. We didn't want to box with him. We wanted to stay in tight, be in tight. But as soon as I planted my feet, he read that and threw a left hook that just kind of put me on my ass. And That one was, I shed some tears after that one, and then kind of like took a deep breath and was like, all right, back to work.
And after the second one, do you still feel like bare knuckle is your sport? Like, this is the place you belong?
It is. Cause if you go back and look at all my whole career, win or lose, I have 100% finish rate. Mine was mostly arm bars, which is surprising. And I have a few knockouts, but I do believe this is kind of just, it's not made for everybody, but I did get a taste of that in the one with Mike, because, you know, you have your doubts. Like you just said, you know, with AJ, it was a little bit harder. So I was like, man, I'm going to be 30. Is this something I can keep doing? I'm going to give it my all. Then with Mike, I put everything I had into it. And it was a mental thing on my own part. I failed myself in that. And I understand that. So now I'm going even harder. And I do believe that the more I train and the more discipline I put into this, the less doubt I have that this is definitely where I should be and what I was put here to do.
Well, I think 30 is pretty young for bare knuckle.
And that is one thing that was hard for me. That was something I had to switch my brain in. Like, because when I first started fighting, I wanted to fight for the WEC. Yeah. Like I was fighting back before commission, where it was in broken down schools and bars, just with no walkout music. So like when I came into bare knuckle, I was like, oh man, like I'm getting older, you know, can I do this? And I realized like, no, I'm actually just getting started. So that's the only difference between me and these other guys is I have a lot of experience.
Yeah. I think the really good thing about bare knuckle I've noticed is it's extended the shelf life of fighters. Mm-hmm. You got guys coming from the UFC, retiring over there, coming to bare knuckle. You got Austin Trout, former boxer, coming over bare knuckle, winning the belt. Yeah. My favorite guy, Redneck Mundell. I mean, he's getting up there in age. Palomino, I mean, he was just like 8-0 at he's like almost 40. There's a lot of old guys in bare knuckle for one.
And I mean, he's not much older than me, but the one of the big inspirations for me is, you know, like is Soto, man. He's fighting for, you know, when I got to meet him and talk to him and just kind of dig his mind. Another one is Alvarez. Danny Alvarez is another
In
California, and he is another one that is helped guiding me, you know, behind the scenes, talking to me, you know, keeping my confidence up. Them two guys are ones I really look up to. And I mean, seeing what they're accomplishing, you know, only a few years older than me, it's like, I got a whole career in this and I can't wait.
Now, what do you feel about the future of bare knuckle fighting in general is going to be, not just BKFC, but the whole sport?
Oh, I think it's already worldwide, and it is, and yeah, you know, there's other promotions that, you know, are putting on some decent shows or nothing like the BKFC, but it's going to be really cool to see BKFC grow into like not competition, because it is different than the UFC, but it is going to be cool to see all these regional later on. I do believe there's going to be more regional bare knuckle than kind of like MMA all over. So I do see it doing that.
Now, I've interviewed people that said they think it could be as big as UFC, but its own sport. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as comparing it to boxing seems to be losing its edge. Can BKFC come up there and truly compete with boxing too?
I do believe so down the road. It also comes down to who teams up and who believes in the vision, like the rest of us do, to be able to get that money and to get to that level of boxing, because boxing is, you know, it's been around a long time. There's a science behind it. I absolutely love it. That was actually something I would have liked to do, but bare knuckle just stole my heart. But yeah, I do think it can be as big as boxing. Take over the actual boxing scene one day.
Has there been talks about your next fight yet?
We have discussed a few things here and there, but nothing too, locked in. I did comment on the Bare Knuckle Show one day, and the boss man told me he had a date for Minnesota, and I'm originally from Minnesota, and I was like, so I would like to do that one if whenever that comes out or date is announced. But other than that, I kind of want to travel and use this. Like I said, I've fought in about 7 different states. I would like to keep adding that as much as possible. So if you can get me in December, November would be great.
Yeah, I actually had one of my questions was about the Bare Knuckle Show. I saw the clip where you asked about Minnesota. Now, what would it mean for you to be part of breaking Bare Knuckle into the state of Minnesota?
It'd be everything. I mean, Minnesota has such great MMA scene and the Midwest itself has a great scene there. And there's a few bare knuckle guys. Richmond is one that I would love to. He trained about an hour and a half for me. I didn't really get to train with any of them guys. I did train a few times here and there with a couple pros that fight in the UFC now. But it'd mean the world to me to break barriers and be part of history from where I'm from, because it would not only inspire my family, because I've most people, you know, just that, but where I'm from is such a small town that we didn't have gyms. We didn't have head coaches and stuff like that. We used to train in my garage. So it would inspire the next generation of kids and men and women from my hometown to reach for the stars. You know, it'd mean the world to me to help and inspire the people from where I'm from.
So you fight bantamweight, correct?
I did do bantamweight, but when I came up, I was, like I said, I was retired. I was 185 pounds when I met Scott. I'm walking right now about in between 145 and 150, depending on the day, but we are shooting to walk around about 140. Once my body, we're just taking the right steps to getting my body down to where it needs to be. And I'm going to be a flyweight.
Okay. Flyweight. So let's pull up these flyweights. Okay. So flyweights, cause I was about to ask you how tough is it going to be to win the belt in the bantamweight. I'm looking at flyweight. I mean, you got John Dodson, man, but I mean, if you put in the work, man, I mean.
Oh, yeah, there's a handful of guys I've kept my eye on. I know I'm 0-2, but I do believe in that little bit of my fight with Mike and my years and years and years of experience that once I keep fixing these few tweaks, I'm going to be a problem for anybody. So I would love to fight. There's a handful of them. Like, I know me and Chris Garcia, I know he's undefeated right now. We talked about fighting at one point before I made my debut. Incline is one, I believe, that would be a banger. You know, he doesn't have the fight experience I have, but he has the bare knuckle experience and he has fought some guys that, you know, so I know he would be a tough cat. And of course, you know, anybody that would get me up there to, I'm not quite ready for the top couple yet, you know, but I think even fighting Incline or the Cut Man or Chris Garcia later on,
you're trying to find the cut man already.
That's what I'm saying, is I want to fight anybody. I respect him. He is clean. He's taller. He's lengthy. Yeah. And he's been around the boxing game for a long time, but I'm trying to fight people that will get me up to the title as quick as possible. I know I'm 0-2, so I got to build my way up, but them are the guys that I'm, at some point in my career looking to stand across from.
Yeah, Cutman G is probably the most beloved guy in BKFC.
Absolutely. He really is, and he does a lot for the sport, not just for the sport, but for the fighters. I got to experience that firsthand, the way he works these events, and that's a different type of respect I have for somebody like that, you know?
You know who might be a good fight for you? He actually just won his first fight, and I interviewed him, Blaine Warburton. He's out of Kansas. He's in your weight class. I mean, he's 1-0, but if you beat him, then he goes 0-1, and I mean, that helps the resume out. I mean, you got, like you said, you got Incline in here, you got Chancey Wilson, he's a little pit bull.
Yeah, I know.
Josh, J.R. Ridge, a good friend of the show. I mean, he's going to be a tough one to go through. He's a bulldog, too.
And there's another guy that actually fought at 120. There's a couple 25ers that fought the night I fought that I wouldn't mind stepping in with. The guy that won, he's 1-0. Alexander, I think, or something like that. He's won. He fought the. I think it's Alexander. He fought the night I fought. I wouldn't mind fighting him.
Alexander Gutierrez.
Yeah, Gutierrez. Yeah, I wouldn't mind stepping in there with him. He had a banger of the night, and I wouldn't mind a challenge like that for my first fight down at 25. And Blaine, I know we're managed by the same guy. He's managed by Goat too.
Yeah,
but.
He's not honestly a teammate, though, right?
No, we're not teammates. And I mean, to me, he's just not one I wouldn't. I'm trying to go to 25, and I don't even know if he can have a good time making 35. So I'm just, and he's like 5'11.
Yeah. So I actually heard he didn't make the weight his last fight. And Justin Martinez actually had to, I think, come up in weight.
That's what I saw that online. Like, we're pretty, like I said, we're not teammates or nothing. So I don't ask questions. That's what I saw online, is that he missed weight. So I don't know exactly.
Now,
that wouldn't be, I mean, I'd box him too, Justin, any of them.
Now, winning the belt is typically the goal, but every now and then I hear, you know, fighters say they got other goals and aspirations. Do you have any other goals and aspirations in the sport besides just winning the belt?
Yeah, man, I want to. Just like anybody that wants to make it big, you know, of course the title is what I want to do, but I really just want to inspire the next generation of men to be men. This world is not.
Oh man, go ahead, get into it.
It is just not what it was when, I mean, I was born in 93, but my dad was a man, and he taught me how to be a man. He, you know, and even my sisters, he taught my sisters, you know, how to be a man, like to do things on their own. And this world today it's just not the same. And I want to inspire the little town people from, like, I come from a town of like 18,000 people that don't have the right coaching or for football or baseball or whatever they do. I just want to inspire the next generation to keep pushing, because as long as you don't stop, anything's possible.
Yeah. And that's, so your father basically raised your sisters to be like, not necessarily manly, but follow things that men have to do to survive in society, right?
We were raised to be survivors. And we were raised to do things on our own.
Independent,
yeah. Like my parents, like when I was younger, I was able, I used to bike to my friend's house. I skateboarded, but we used to just go to our friend's house and not get home till dark. You know, can't do that type of stuff no more.
Now, you got another nickname too, don't you? Like the Aztec Warrior or something?
Yeah, that was something that I actually tried kind of dropping into towards the end of my MMA career, because I found out, I did like the ancestry test, and I found out I'm like 34% indigenous from
like Aztec.
Yeah, from that, from Mexico, Texas area.
That's cool, man. I'm so into like Mayan culture, Aztec culture, Egyptian culture, you know, Sumerian culture. I'm so much into that because I'm a laws of nature guy myself. I'm like you said, I'm not very religious at all. You know,
I'm a very spiritual person. I'm, you know, more of a paganism. I'm a spiritual person. I love what Mother Nature brings to us, and she gives us everything we need.
Now, you're from Minnesota. Let me ask you a Minnesota sports question. First, let me ask you, are you a Minnesota Timberwolves fan?
I'm a 76ers fan.
Wow.
I know I have a New York Knicks jersey, but it's because it's Carmelo Anthony and it says my name, so it's on my gaming chair.
So,
but I'm a diehard Sixers fan because when I grew up, Allen Iverson was kind of a bigger name, okay. And I thought he was a lot shorter than he was until I found out he was 6 foot. So that's what inspired me to I would love to play basketball at one time in my life, but Allen Iverson inspired me to be a little guy and stand up to the big guys.
What'd you think about the trade the T-Wolves made?
Which one was that?
They traded Carl Anthony Towns to the Knicks.
I was never a fan of Anthony Towns.
They traded him for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and a pick.
Randle's not bad. As much as I wasn't a fan of Towns, he did bring something that, you know, he was lengthy. He could. His IQ, he's been around a while. He knew the system. He was a big man. He could shoot.
Could shoot threes, yeah.
Yeah. So I think.
You think they had to get him out there, though? You think they had to get him out there because that's Anthony Edwards' team? It's Anthony Edwards' team now.
Now that you say that, Edwards has really, since the moment he stepped on the court, he has really made it his team. You know, and up until that point, it was, you know, Carl's team. And they did try to build around him, I suppose. They did a couple times, and it didn't work out. So I think at this point, it's probably time to get rid of him and try something different.
Yeah, and Carl Anthony Towns definitely kind of took a back seat to Anthony Edwards. And when you do that, it can't be your team no more, that's for sure.
No, it's just one of them things that kind of happens. And Randle, he can bring a little bit of experience behind him, too, that can guide Anthony a little bit.
Now, if I'm Anthony,
he's guiding.
Yeah, I know, right? He is Michael Jordan. Like, I wouldn't compare him to Jordan yet, but he does have that Michael Jordan and Kobe dog mentality, especially that a lot of the BKFC fighters talk about. Now, something I realize about some of the fighters is they don't watch the fights, like none of these other events. Do you watch all the events?
Everyone. Since I've been back, I actually went back and I'm not done with it yet, but I did go back when I first got into this because it's so different that I went back and started watching it from the beginning. I have a notebook with it says BKFC, you know, whatever number, and then who was in my weight class from 25, 35, and I write their name down and what I thought of them. And, you know, I try to go through and watch it. I don't miss. I'm starting to pick up trying to introduce myself into the podcast, you know, with you and couple others, and I'm just really trying to learn this game as much as possible because it is so different.
Now, how hard is it, you think, to get these fights? Like, it seems like I've seen guys, they don't fight for sometimes over a year and a half, man. It seems like it's really hard to get fights at BKFC.
Yeah, I mean, for how many shows they throw, I would expect more, but I still think they're still newer, so it's a lot of trial and error because there's so many people that want to get into it. It's like, let's give them a shot. You know, let's see. This guy had a good MMA career. This guy had a good boxing career. He didn't have this good of one. Let's give him a shot. So I think a lot of these guys are like trial and error.
Do you think it has to do with like that it's kind of regional right now that they – they always looking for fighters within that region to fight that card?
Yes, I think ticket sales could be a big thing, just bringing the crowd in, trying to bring as many eyes to the sport as possible at this point in the business's career, I suppose. So I would like to see a lot more, especially the GOAT fighters. You know, I'd like to see them more active. We got some bangers on the team. I think it is a little harder.
You think social media following plays a part in it too?
Yes, it is something that I've been trying to get my name out there to present yourself because in the end, we're entertainers. Yeah. It's a business, so I can go in there and rip your head off or you could do the same to me. But it's really, we do this for us, it's the love of the sport, but the crowd and fans come with it. Do it for them also.
To me, it felt, when I watch BKFC, I feel like I'm watching WWE wrestling, but bare knuckle.
Yeah. It's
a real good show. I like the fact that you get your money's worth every time, I think. You got 12 matches almost every single time. They pump them out just so quick.
Yeah, and there's a couple. This is probably since I got into bare knuckle over a year ago, this is probably the biggest break I've seen in between cards, you know, from here to Spain. But
yeah,
I mean, this next one's going to be a banger.
I'm glad you brought that up, Spain. Now, the Spain one is not going to be on the BKFC app, if I'm not mistaken.
No. I think, how do you pronounce it? Dazn?
DAZN, I think.
DAZN. There we go.
I think it's DAZN. Now, I know they did try pay-per-view before, and it didn't work so well. Do you think, have you heard anything about what the fans are saying about this? Because I know there's some fans got to be upset that now, when they go to the app, they're not going to be able to watch that Spain card.
Yeah, I've seen some things online and in other chats of people not really too happy about it. But I think in the end, if you're a true bare knuckle fan and you really love this sport, you're going to spend that money.
Because,
it's just kind of the way it is. They're growing and it's expected. You're not always going to get that early 2000s Netflix deal when this company is going to be growing into something amazing. And if you want this company to grow into something amazing and keep growing, you got to support it. I know as a fighter, I support it.
Now, I'm thinking a lot of the reason why they're going pay-per-view again with these fights is probably because of Conor.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably because of Conor. And is he like the guy that gets it over the hump?
I believe so. I think Feldman has the brain. You know, I haven't really met him or known him long, but just from an outsider's point of view, I think he had the vision and he has the ability to get it over that hump. But with Conor McGregor, it's just an extra, that extra boost that he's earned, that he's worked hard for, and the BKFC have worked hard for to get him over that hump a little bit quicker.
So I got a couple more questions, and we're going to let you do the shout-outs.
All right.
So how do you feel about the women in BKFC? Do you watch a lot of the matches?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. My wife, she trains with me full-time. So it's
I saw that. Your whole family trains and stuff.
Yeah, we all train 4, 5, 6 times a week. My kids have classes 4 times a week. But the women in there, they're so much more technical. Everything about them is just so precise, and they're clean, and their shots, you know, they might not be getting them devastating knockouts, but I do enjoy even the lower level women fights in BKFC because they know how to put on a show.
And they all got to have the cardio because they all usually go the distance. Like you said, they don't really have the knockout power. They got knockdown power, but not knockout power.
Yeah. And I truly enjoy the women fighting in BKFC.
All right, so your next fight, you say you're looking to try to get November, December. What can we expect in your next fight, man?
The same thing you saw the first minute and 25 seconds of that one. I love to push the pace. I like to not make you fight anything that you want to fight. I make you fight my fight. It's just the style I've always had is get in your face, counter you, be aggressive, but this time you'll see me be more precise. I'll use my blocking a lot better, and my feet will be moving a lot more.
That's what's up, man. Well, I appreciate you taking time out, man, schedule, man.
Having me. This is cool. This is the first time I've ever done something like this, so it's really cool to be able to get on here and talk and kind of just be myself a little bit.
Well, you're a friend of the show now, so whatever you post or whatever, I'm going to make sure I like, comment, all that good stuff.
Same, my man.
You know, anytime you want to come back on, you know, just reach out. As soon as I get off here, I'm going to, you know, start clipping up some clips.
All right.
And I'm also available on a site called millions.co. You might want to check them out as well. They're a site for, athletes, and you can create a profile on there. You can upload any content you got. If you got any merchandise, you can upload your merchandise to there, and they'll actually do all the printing and shipping for you. You just actually put in how much you want, you know, your cut to be, and they'll pretty much do all the work for you.
I'll have to check that out for sure, because that's something I've always wanted to. I'm working on we're working on a Yoast era apparel.
Yeah.
What I've been working on for a while. We're just kind of touch and go right now with it because I'm so focused on training. But yeah, that'd be cool.
And what I really like about them, the reason I kind of joined their site is they any videos that you upload like that are 8 minutes or more, they'll actually clip up some clips for you and send you the clips into your account and you can add the. It saves me a lot of time. So they'll do my clips for me. They upload the clips into my account. I can approve them. Once I approve them, they automatically go to my page, and then I can download them later and, you know, post them to my Instagram and all that. And they do some really good clips, man, for the time that they taken out, you know, or they scheduled to do them.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man, because, yeah, and I would love to come back on here, man. I have such a crazy story about just the way I got into fighting, you know, like just everything. I started when I was 15, 16, so I'd love to get down and just kind of tell the world, let the world get to know me, you know, because I plan on taking over the 125 division here in the next few years. You know, it's going to take some time. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to climb super fast. I do plan on it, but I am 0-2 and I got some things I need to tweak and some things I need to fix. So, but when the time comes and I get back in there, I'll be ready to start climbing the ladder.
Well, I appreciate you, man, taking your time out and keep us updated on your next fight, man. So we know what's going on. All right, man. You have a nice day, man.
You too, my man. Have a good day.
All right. Peace. Great, really great interview. Really nice guy, man. That's the thing about these bare knuckle guys. They are actually nice, decent human beings. That was Anthony, the Double Advocate Yoast. Very interesting story of how he got the nickname Doubles Advocate. And we'll definitely go keep supporting and looking out for him and see what he's got going on. And y'all do it as well. Go follow him on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. And matter of fact, let me pull up his Instagram real quick before we go so I can tell you what his Instagram was. I just want to all right, so his Instagram is bareknuckle_Tony with two Y's. That's bareknuckle_Tony with two Y's. Go follow him, Anthony Yoast, the Devil's Advocate. And we appreciate him taking time out. We appreciate anybody that tunes into the content. Don't forget, the content is available on millions.co now, along with the new little apparel merchandise. As you see, I got one of the t-shirts on right now. And I appreciate everybody that takes their time out to watch the clips and watch these interviews. And appreciate y'all, man. Peace. I'm out.